We get another perspective here. Brian Baldinger, NFL Network, part of our Eagles television network with Eagles Game Plan. Brian, I talked to you a couple of years ago when the Eagles made Juan Castillo the defensive coordinator. You were shocked. How about on the day that Juan is no longer the defensive coordinator and Todd Bowles in? Are you as shocked today?
Yeah, I am. Just because, you know, Andy's never done anything like this before, and I think this is strictly his move here and his decision. And also because I don't think that the troubles the Eagles have had through the first 6 weeks, however you want to identify those, can all be laid at the doorstep of Juan Castillo. However, I do think they have a good option in Todd Bowles, and so I think they're going to try door number two here to see if they can change things up a little bit.
Tell me what you saw from Juan from an X's and O's standpoint week to week with the defense here.
Well, especially in the last 3 weeks, Dave, just highly predictable. I mean, they're so married to their front four, which is fine, where they don't really do anything. You know, once you get a team that knows exactly what you're going to do and where you're going to be every play, I mean, you give Pittsburgh, you give the Giants, you give, you know, the Detroit Lions time to look at it and go, okay, well, we'll do this protection scheme. And once you get in a predictable fashion of what you're going to do play to play to play, even if you're really good at it, it becomes a lot easier to attack you. And that's really what's happened. And so really what you see is they've got a great deal of fear that they put in the opposing offenses. Now, if you change things up, four-man rush, six-man rush, zone pressure, overload, disguise, I mean, once you start changing it up and get them guessing, then you really can unleash a fury. But the fact that they were so predictable, I mean, the 45 passes that Matt Stafford threw on Sunday against the Eagles, 40 of them were a straight four-man rush. And even the blitzes that came, there was no real disguise or anything difficult about them. And I think two things have resulted, Dave. One, they're not getting sacks. And sacks are can be a little misleading, but sacks generally are an indicator that you're causing havoc and pressure, and pressure causes takeaways, and they're not getting takeaways right now. So that's really the trends that I think Andy Reid have seen that he wants to try to change right now.
How dramatic could potentially this defense look to the casual fan in the weeks to come now with Todd running the defense? Do you expect a dramatic difference?
I think the results are going to be different. I think the results are going to be better. I think they have a lot of good chess pieces to work with. You know, are they flawed? A little bit, you know, but everybody is to this point. I think that they could be a lot better because I think the fear of the pass rush is there. It's there because you can tell the way the teams defend against it. But the trick then is to get teams into max protection and only rush and still get to the quarterback with an overload. Think you're coming from one side and you come from another side. So there's got to be an element of disguise and an element of pressure that can be disguised that you got to make other teams defend and think about, in addition to having some pretty good pass rushers individually.
Brian, any concern on your part that front four with Trent and with Cullen Jenkins, who's been really quiet, Jason Babin, that they've just gotten old and ineffective?
No. I think they're still effective. I mean, I think they're frustrated because, you know, all they're seeing is a brick wall in front of them every play. And so maybe the tenacity that they rushed with a year ago isn't quite the same, but I would say that there's been a drop-off of Cullen Jenkins. But I think Jason Babbitt and Trent Cole still have a great deal left in them. I think, you know, you may want to take a look more at Vinnie Curry or Philip Hunt, you know, more than, you know, what we've seen from Cullen Jenkins, because I thought we saw a drop-off last year, and people said, well, it's just because he played too much. Well, you know, he didn't do much during the preseason. He hasn't done anything during the season. So that is a guy, I think, that if you want to say, okay, you know, we've seen the best of him, let's start looking at some of these younger guys that we have, I think that's a personnel change that you might see and might be warranted. But I think, you know, you got to give these guys a chance. And I think Todd's going to give them a chance by changing things up a little bit.
Brian, this Eagles secondary seems to have played pretty darn well through six games. Nnamdi when he's used like he was used for the first three quarters on Sunday. Very effective. Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie, very effective. Nate Allen playing well. Is that an indication of how good a coach Todd Bowles is?
Yeah, partly, yeah. I mean, I don't think, you know, Todd's going to see, you know, I don't care who the receiver is going forward, but I don't think you'll see Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie in the slot defending anybody. I mean, he's just not very good in there. He's a much better player on the outside. So you'll see, I think you'll see a lot of man. I think you'll see a lot of, I think you'll see a multiple of coverages and disguise coverages. Snap. I think that's where Todd's going to get you. And I think he's going to put guys in a better position. I think, you know, I don't think the safety is going to be so quick to bite on the run right now. And I think they'll, you know, continue to defend the deep ball pretty well.
Ryan, did you know, you've been around the team. Obviously, you talk to a lot of players. You talk to people around the league all the time. Did people buy into Juan here? Is that part of the reason?
Well,
maybe
he's not
here?
I think that was part of it. I mean, I just think, you know, if you look at a guy like Asante Samuel, I mean, he's playing the best football I've seen him play in 5 years in Atlanta. And I think a large part because when Mike Nolan stands up in the front of the room, he believes Mike Nolan is, you know, one of the top five defensive coordinators in the league, which I think he is. And I think he just there's just a trust and a buy-in factor to a veteran player. And I don't think anybody has gone public. I think they've been very professional on the defensive side of the ball, especially the experienced players over there, about listening to Juan. But I think at the end of the day, they think that there's a lot more that they could do. And players are always going to respect a guy that's aggressive and they feel is winning the chess match each Sunday against the opposing offenses. And I just think that I think there was some of that was lacking with Juan.
Brian, I mean, listen, you've been in the position as a player. What is that initial reaction when you hear of this kind of news, of the coach speaking about potential more changes and unsatisfied with a 3-3 record, and it seems like everybody's on high alert around here?
I think that's good. I think that's a good thing. I don't think, you know, Andy did this to shock anybody or to send a message, but I just think he looked at the last two games that were very winnable ball games, despite other flaws within the team, and I think he's trying to correct it right now because I think he looks around the league and says everybody's flawed. We have as good a chance to win this whole thing as anybody, if we cut down the mistakes and we stop giving up big plays with the game on the line. And I think he went and is trying to fix one area of it right now. And I think anybody that's been around Todd Bowles, A, I think you're impressed by him. B, I think he's smart. And C, I think he's going to get guys' attention. And I think he's a good teacher. And I think he'll be a good day. I mean, we'll find out if he's a good game day coach because we don't know. But I think that's, you know, that's where this team has to get better. Game day. When the game is on the line, what are we doing here to help, you know, to make sure that we can win this game and do enough to win the game and, you know, get to the postseason? And so I think, you know, the players are probably in their bye week right now, on the phone to each other, on the phone around the league to their friends about what just happened. But I think when they come back, I think, you know, when Todd Bowles steps up in front of the room and when Andy steps up in front of the room, I think both those guys are going to have everybody's undivided attention about what needs to be done going forward.
Hey, Brian, your perspective here, there are obviously, it's not just the defense that struggled through six games. What else needs to be done to get the Eagles on the right track and keep them there the rest of the season?
Well, I mean, I think they've got to cut down on the mistakes of the offensive line. I mean, it's inexcusable, the breakdowns that they've had up front, mental breakdowns as well as just technical breakdowns. I mean, I'm watching Todd Harriman cross his feet. And I'm watching, you know, Danny Watkins not knowing that he's got inside help on a pass rush and he's standing, stepping outside. You know, I'm watching, you know, breakdowns. I'm watching Demetrius Bell do a spin move to recover when he's beaten. That, you know, I mean, just watching breakdowns fundamentally. So fundamentals always have to be stressed. You know, I think the plays that have been designed for big plays have to get executed. I mean, they had one on Sunday to DeSean Jackson. You got to make the throw. I mean, those things are all, you know, special teams has to get better all the way around. You can't lose games because of special teams, and you got to try to find ways to win special teams, games within the special teams. And they're not doing that right now at all in any phase of it. So I think there's a lot of improvement on special teams. Play calling on offense, I think, can be improved. I mean, 10 negative plays on offense is more than you should have in two games combined. And they had that in one game against Detroit. So, I mean, I think you got to take a look at what this offensive line does well and start catering the plays to it, because Jason Peters and Jason Kelce aren't here anymore. And those guys were exceptional athletes at their position, and they don't have those players. So I don't think you can no longer call those type of plays that require that type of athleticism.
Hey, Brian, last thing. Everybody's asking. Everybody's got an opinion. So what's yours? What do you do at the quarterback position?
Well, the quarterback is not helping you win games right now. You know, those 31 turnovers in the last 19 games is the most in the league. And he's 10-9 as a starter. And I don't know that you can take it out of him. It's clear on Sunday against Detroit, he put an emphasis on ball security. Two hands on the ball, breaking the pocket. He tucked it away. He did all those things right. But he threw the two interceptions, and one was inexcusable. And so you're 10-9 with Mike Vick in the last 2 years at quarterback. I mean, he looks like a quarterback that's basically going to win eight games for you as a starter. I think you have to look at the backup quarterback right now as a viable option to help you win football games. Other teams have, and they're winning games with them. I don't think you can live in fear of playing a rookie quarterback right now. I know this. You live in fear of the quarterback turning the ball over as much as he has in the last 19 starts that he's had.
All right, Brian Baldering, we thank you very much. Interesting days ahead for the Philadelphia Eagles. Thanks so much, Baldy.
Okay, Dave.